scriptures when Jesus uses the analogy of earthly fathers. And he says, if your earthly fathers who are imperfect knew how to show love and example, how much more so our Heavenly Father? So we could come thanking God for being our perfect, loving Heavenly Father. So we're grateful that you are here today. If you'll look with me in the bulletin, we'll look at some announcements. I want to keep you posted that I will be gone tomorrow through Wednesday following. Emma and I are taking a trip to New England, so Lisa Dibble will be preaching the sermon this coming Sunday, and we've got plenty of pastoral ordained folks here in the church, so if you need something, you can give one of them a call, and if it's an emergency, give me a call. But just keep us in prayer. Also keep those that are traveling in prayer. The Brills are in North Carolina for the graduation of their granddaughter, and Robert is gets a whole day with Heather today since this is Heather's birthday, so keep them in our prayers. And if you'll notice, the next thing, on a hot day like we've been having, we are having our ice cream shop social June the 30th at the Kurtz house. So plan on coming to that. It'll be a great time. And you'll have any questions, talk to Kelly. Any other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this is just a favor if anybody would be interested in this. My mother's turning 90 next Sunday, and I was hoping that I could provide her with a card shower. So if you're interested in sending her some snail mail, because she's 90 and she would prefer snail mail, she doesn't really open her email very much. I do have her address and a few little things about her. She was a teacher for 35 years, and she loves music, gardening, and reading. So if you're interested, I have little papers.
All right, and if you send that to me, I'll give it to Gail and my mom, who have the email list, and they can send that out for those that aren't here.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
And let's make sure that Mrs. Beats gets showered with her cards. That's wonderful. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. I want to keep Wayne Williams and his family in prayer. The service for Nikki is at 2 o'clock today in the sanctuary. And we just, even though they rejoice that her suffering is over, it's still also a difficult loss. So be with Wayne, be with the two siblings. And in particular, being Father's Day, talked to Wayne this morning. Just keep him in prayer and the entire family. Also keep Wayne, Glenn Harvey in your prayers. Glenn is just struggling, fatigued physically and fatigued emotionally. So just keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Any other items for prayer that anyone would like to share? Yes.
I've got two. I've got a good friend in Florida, Crystal, and her dad, Larry, is not doing well at all. She's asked us to go along with Virginia, who we just looked him up in prayer this morning.
His name is Larry?
Yes, sir.
Let's keep Larry in Florida in our prayers.
Larry's been doing dialysis. I don't know 100% what's wrong. She just reached out to Carrie and said, how many of y'all go to church every Sunday? Please lift up my dad.
Who was that?
Crystal is her name.
Crystal, sir. Okay.
And then let's keep Liz in our prayer. She's had that triple surgery the other day, and mom says she hasn't even gotten out of bed yet, which is not good. So I think the healing process is going a little slower than they were hoping. And she's at UVA in Charlottesville.
So let's keep Liz Griffin in our prayers as she recovers, and Crystal's dad, Larry, in Florida. And let's keep Webb in our prayers as old age is catching up to him. And his mobility and back has been hurting, so let's keep Webb in our prayers. Yes, Kelly.
Wendy, my daughter's having knee surgery, replacement knee surgery, 26th of this month, Lone Oak.
So let's keep Wendy in our prayers. It's good to have her with us today, and keep her in prayer for the 26th as she has her knee replacement. Yes.
I have a request for the family of Catherine Howell. She was 90 years old and sharp as a tack, still working at her job until about a month ago when she suddenly took a downhill plunge and had to go into nursing home care. She and her daughter attended my church in Huddleston and were extremely supportive of me when I went through my difficult time in leaving the United Methodist Church back a number of years ago. And I'll be attending the funeral on Monday.
So let's keep the family of Catherine Howell in our prayers. Thank you, Lisa. Anyone else? Tom?
Keep Teddy, Tony's brother. His cancer's bad, and it doesn't sound real good.
Yeah, Teddy is actually only, what, 60, 61, so he's younger than Tony. So he lives up in the valley, so let's keep Teddy Brill in our prayers as his cancer has returned. Anyone else? It's good to see Agnes here today. It's neat to have you with us. Glad you're making good progress. Anyone else?
Gwen.
Who?
Gwen.
Let's keep Gwen in our prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that in addition to being the altogether Holy One and the Sovereign God of the universe, you are our compassionate Father. And as was modeled for most of us in the earthly fathers we had, while imperfect, we understood that they loved, and we understood that they sought to protect, and we understood that they sought to guide. And we thank you for those of us who had fathers that truly sought to demonstrate that love and guidance to us. But we're eternally grateful that all of us have a Heavenly Father who is absolutely perfect, who is completely loving, the God of all comfort, who showers that upon us. So we're grateful that we are your children. And we pray as your children that you would be with all these that have been mentioned. We pray that you'd be with the family of Nikki. Be with Wayne in particular and her siblings and all the family. We also pray for Catherine Howell's family. We just pray that you'll draw close and comfort her. We pray for those that are recovering. We pray for Liz and Gail. We pray for Larry. We pray for Glenn and Ruth. We pray for Gwen. We pray that you would be with Teddy as his cancer has returned, and just strengthen him and give him encouragement and comfort. We pray that you would be even now for Wendy. Prepare her knee for the operation on the 26th. We pray that it will go well. Her recovery would be surprisingly good. And may it just all go well. We commit it to you. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in this wonderful country with the freedoms that we have. And we thank you for the freedom to assemble publicly for no other purpose than to worship your holy name. We pray that we'll do that today. We know that we can only do that through your Spirit. So we pray your Spirit would fall fresh and anew upon us, illuminate your word, and may we give ear to it and give praise only to Christ. And we pray in his holy name. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and
be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 1 as our call to worship, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 314. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is sin.
Take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. This ends the first read.
Lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 17. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we were at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This ends the second reading.
Thank you. only begotten, we give you thanks. In the name of the triune God, we find our comfort and rest, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the trees of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. In talking about the chaos of life, there's a phrase that you hear often that's not exactly true. I would suggest to you it's only half true. But the truth that is true is definitively true. And that is the saying that there's nothing certain except death and taxes. I would suggest to you, taxes aren't even certain. I would advise it, but you don't really have to pay them. Again, I wouldn't advise it. Truly, the only thing that has 100% inclusion rate at this point is death. And you say, well, why are you going to talk about death on quote-unquote Father's Day? Well, for one thing, that's where the lectionary takes us. But in a far more meaningful way, I'm absolutely convinced, having spent the majority of my adult life walking with people through life and through the process of death, that I totally agree with that wisdom given to us in that wonderful book that I'd recommend to you by Harold Gaines called A Lesson in Dying, where he just makes the point that until we are comfortable with the fact that we are going to die, we won't be able to enjoy living the way we are intended to. Most people have faint notion of what our state after death is. We hear a lot of silly and sometimes downright stupid statements. Humans don't get wings, even though one of my favorite movies would tell us so, that Clarence did. We don't become angels. God doesn't need other stars. God didn't take your daddy or mommy because he needed a helper in heaven. And sometimes it's made worse by misstatements by pastors. I'm chagrined at times, and thank God for the grace that covers us all for things that I've things that I have spoken with good intentions, but probably not as good an understanding. And today I want to use a passage in 2 Corinthians 5 that's often read at funerals. I want to use this passage to hopefully bring us comfort in life as we understand the process of death. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, our only hope in life and in death is that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price, and we are children of the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to do it by a sort of a way of a grammatical way. You know about declensions. It's a way grammatically to set apart distinctions and nouns or adjectives or pronouns. You know, I can say I, me, my, or we could say him, his, or her. Or in the form of adjectives, we could use it for a positive, a comparative, and a superlative way. And so what in the world did you just say? I'm going to talk about good, better, best. Good is something that's positive. Better is something that's comparative. And best is something that is superlative. So let me just briefly looking at, if you're looking at 2 Corinthians, the first thing I want to say is our life is good. Our life is good. We see in verses 1 to 4 that we have this, and it's compared to a tent. We've all, most of us probably, have gone camping, either as children or adults, and we like tents. Tents are good things. We want tents when it's raining. We want tents when it's cold. We want tents when we want privacy. But we also know that tents, while they're good, they're temporal. There will come a point, and some people like this is their favorite part of the camping experience, is when you break camp and go home and you get out of that tent and off of that hard ground. But we know a tent is temporal. It's not bad. It's just not permanent. A tent is imperfect. I've never met a tent that didn't leak. I don't know how much Gore-Tex is on it. It leaks. Tents are imperfect. Tents are insufficient. They're not bad. Life is good. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We know from his high priestly prayer in John 17 that even as we're walking this temporary path, it's good because we know Jesus Christ, and knowing Christ is eternal life. But it's temporal, and it's imperfect, and it's insufficient. But we have a purpose. As Tom read in verse 17 of this passage, I'm sorry, verse 11 of the passage, we encourage one another, we persuade others. Even though this life is not perfect, it's good because we have a purpose. We can encourage others. You go through difficulties in life not because God is punishing you, but Paul tells us earlier in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, you go through difficulties of life so that you can comfort others when they go through difficulties. We are also sealed through this life. We know that the good is not just what we have. This isn't all that we have. We shouldn't grab all the gusto we can thinking that this is all there is, because something follows the good, and that's the better. And what we see in this passage, what we see in Philippians 1, as he puts so clearly, the one thing that's better than life, which is good, is death. Christ is told to be the purpose for our life, and it's good, but Paul says in Philippians that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The Greek word there for gain means advantage. It's to your advantage to die. Now, I'm not suggesting today, and I'm not trying to be slight but I'll tell you this. I walk with a lot of people that get to a point in life where they truly understand they're ready to go home. They understand that there's an advantage, as Paul says, that life is good, but death is better. See, our life, we're renewed. The whole Spirit comes, and through life we are renewed. But we might start to feel better only to ache a little more the next day. You ever go up to bed feeling wonderful? And you wake up and it's like, who ran over me with a truck while I was sleeping? One of the difficulties of aging is having pain that's not associated with activity. Maybe you just held your smile in the wrong way, and now you hurt. But the Holy Spirit will come during life and renew us day by day. We read in Scripture, as the outer man is being decaying, the inner man is being renewed, and that's a good thing. But with death comes the advantage that we're no longer renewed. We're retired. We're retired. We get to rest in peace. We also know that death is better because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if we're at peace and we're with the presence of God. The Scripture calls it paradise. The Scripture calls it being with Christ. The Scripture calls it heaven. And that is better. But I'm going to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that while heaven is better in comparative to life, it's not the best. It's not the best. See, heaven, the presence of God, when you die today, or whenever you die, you are in the presence of God, but it's not the best. Because there's one thing missing if you die today and you're present with God. What is missing? Your body. And see, we're not Platonists. We're not those that teach that the body is somehow bad. And if we can just shed the body, life would be so much better. No, God created our bodies. God created matter. C.S. Lewis said, God must love stuff because he made so much of it. Our bodies are not bad. God, as Job confessed, I long for the day, Job said, where I will be able to see God in my body. And see, this is why the state of being present with God is better. It's gain, it's advantageous, but it's not the eternal bliss God has for us. We confess this in the creeds, don't we? In a few minutes, you're going to say the Apostles' Creed with me. And you're going to say, you believe in life everlasting, right? And you get that from the moment you know Christ. You get that when you are absent from the body. But there's one thing you don't get at your death that we say in the creed. What is that? We believe in the resurrection of the body. There's an old analogy that works for me to explain this. Let's say I'm retired from my job. I'm giving up my work. I'm tired of getting phone calls. I'm tired of talking all the time. I just want to retire. And I buy this beautiful mountain cabin on a river in Montana. And I'm going there to live forever. On the way, let's say I stop in Denver. And I stay in a really nice motel. And it's a whole lot better than the house I was living in. But it's not where I'm going. It's where I am, and it's good. But when I wake up and leave that hotel and move to where I'll be for all eternity, It's the best. And that's the way it is with our body. We are created as a tripart being. We are body, soul, and spirit. So when we are absent from the body, yes, we're present with God, but it's not the way He intended it. That happens at the resurrection, at the second coming of Christ. See, we're not looking for our individual death. That is better, but it's not the best. We are retired. We rest in peace. But at the resurrection of the body, we're absolutely restored with our body as God intended it. This is a true recreation. That's why it says, the new heavens and the new earth come at the consummation. If it's a new heaven, obviously the old heaven, that presence of God without your body, is not the best. And I hope I'm trying to be clear. And it's difficult, but you're a smart group of people. I can see it on your face. So you're getting this. So to be in the body is good. To be away from the body is to be with Christ, and that's better. All our pain and suffering is over. But when Christ returns and we have that full resurrection of the body, we are now in the presence of God in our mind, our soul, our spirit, and our body, the way He intended it. And then you know what we'll do for all eternity? I'm so jealous when I read this phrase. Like Adam, before the fall, we'll be able to walk with God in the cool of the day. It'll be restored exactly like He created it and called it good. See, that's why when we die, it's better, but it can't be the best. But because when He created that perfect Eden, He called it good, and you were in a body. So we look forward to that. We look forward to that. We wait to go to heaven. We wait for that release from all the pains of our body. But our ultimate hope, our full eternity, is when we are restored to our body. And as Irenaeus, probably one of my favorite church leaders, one of the earliest, in fact, he was a spiritual grandson of John. John was a mentor of Polycarp, and Polycarp was a mentor of Irenaeus of Lyon. And Irenaeus said this. He said that God is full of, or God's greatest glory is in a human fully alive. God made us, and He wants us to function the way He made us. And you look at your body, and unless you have an ego the size of Texas, when you look in a mirror, you really don't think your body's all that, and then some. I hope you don't. I mean, I'm looking at you here, and I hope you don't think that. But God created you that when He looks at you, He wants to see your body and your soul and your spirit shining as He intended before the fall. And at that point, we will have arrived at the very best. And He'll smile and declare what He hasn't been able to declare since the first creation. This is good. It'll be the very best, and it's what we hope for. And because we're sealed in Him, it's the destiny of everyone here to be fully human at that day of consummation where the new heavens and new earth will give God all the glory. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts and souls to you, Lord God, for you made creation out of nothing. And in Abraham, you called a people to be your own. You crafted a destiny for your children. From the barrenness of despair and the wilderness of sin, you made an everlasting covenant that bound you and humanity to be with one, to be one another forever. In Jesus, you made a new covenant that embodied humankind's full presence before you, and your full presence before humankind. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Uniting God, you bind yourself to us in Christ's death, and you bind us to yourself in Christ's resurrection. In him we are dead to sin and alive to you. Send now your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this your holy meal in his presence, that we may be ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven, and delivered from the curse of slavery. And may you make, through the power of your Holy Spirit, this bread and this wine be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Jealous God, you want us for yourself, and you teach us to shape all our loves as ways of loving you. Give your consolation to all who live with no peace, but only a sword. Dwell with those who find their household divided, son against father, mother against daughter, and any who find it hard to love you and to cherish their family members too. Restore your church that it may discover you on the way of the cross and find its life by losing it for your sake, until the day when you are the joy of our desiring and we the joy of yours. When every eye shall behold you, and every tongue confess you as Lord, one and holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As you've heard me say many times, one of the sweetest tenets of the Christian faith that we also just confessed is the communion of saints. The beautiful thing of being present with the Lord, those that are absent from the body, is we confess that the Lord is omnipresent. So those in Christ that have gone on are with him where he is and he is here. The beautiful truth of that, brothers and sisters, and it brings comfort to me and I hope to you, is in particular, if your earthly father has gone on to be with the presence of God, he joins you at this table. For God has promised to join you in Christ here. So we come as we confess, not just with all the angels and archangels to sing that hymn of unending praise. We come with all of the church, all of the saints, together as one. For we are one in Christ, our Passover Lamb. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and as one receive his gift. The feast is spread. Let us keep the feast.
We thank you, our precious God, for the gift of eternal life found only in your Son, sealed in us through your Spirit, taking us to that wonderful consummation where the Father who created all things will restore all things to that original creation. And you will be glorified forever and ever. May we comfort one another with these words. May we meditate upon these words to our own benefit. And may you be glorified in your church through all eternity. In your holy name. Amen. Let us close our worship by standing and singing together hymn 516, Like a River of Glory. I'd like to use the words that close the Holy Writ as our benediction. Benediction, like eulogy, simply means good or beneficial words. I find these words extremely beneficial as they describe where we're going. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away, and he remains as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the only eternal God. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thank you.